السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تلقها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. But my kiram, most respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted us the blessed, the sacred and the wonderful month of Ramadan, which, as we have repeatedly heard over the various programs, radio stations, events, seminars, that Allah Ta'ala gave us that month of Ramadan to spiritually overhaul ourselves. The month of Ramadan was not merely to abstain from food and drink, but rather the abstention from food and drink was for a greater purpose, it was for a greater goal. It was a means to a greater objective. And one of the greatest objectives of the month of Ramadan was to acquire the great treasure of taqwa. Due to the nature of the world that we live in, which is materialistic, and materialism has become a complete religion in itself, where people worship materialism, and the entire focus of an individual is based around the material world and the acquisition of material benefits and assets. And a person's success is measured on his material performance and his material wealth and his material achievements. And no doubt we need this material world. Allah Ta'ala says, "Ad-dunya khuliqat lakum." This world and all of the material benefits in this world, I'm explaining, it is for your benefit. Lakum, mare faida ke liye hai. It is for your benefit. It is for you to benefit from. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, "Wala tansa nasibaka min ad-dunya." Don't forget your share in this world. So we have to use this world. There is one extreme which Islam had prohibited. It was known as monasticism, in Arabic Rahbaniyya, where you find in certain religions the monks and the nuns, they would completely divorce themselves from the world. They wouldn't get married at all. For the rest of their lives, they would live in this extreme environment. And we know the facts that half of them is just an act. Many of them cheat in the process. Allah Ta'ala had never written upon us or instructed us to go to any extremism. Hence, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is an incident when there were three Sahaba who came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha inquiring about the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who don't have time to go into. But a description was given of the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fasting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the devotions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One Sahabi said, "I will fast for the rest of my life." If the Nabi of Allah is fasting in this manner, and he is the Nabi of Allah who has such a high station, I need to be working much harder, so I will fast for the rest of my life. The next Sahabi said, "You know, I will not get married for the rest of my life." In this manner, each Sahabi had taken upon himself some extreme measure
which was his understanding of a means to achieve a level of piety. When Rasulullah heard about this, he summoned these three Sahaba and he said that Alaykum bi sunnati, that you should follow my sunnah. And what is my sunnah? That sometimes I fast, sometimes I do not fast. I eat in this world, I get married, children. In other words, Rasulullah lived a normal human life. But there was a moderation in it. He didn't get so absorbed into this material world that he forgot his real goal and purpose. And neither did he take it to the other extreme, where he completely divorced himself or separated himself from this world, but rather he chose the middle path. And we as followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should aspire and make an attempt to achieve the same level of moderation. That moderation in everything that we do. Hence, this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has described it as وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. That Allah has made you an ummah of moderation. There should be no extremism. There should be moderation in everything that you do. Hence, in everything that we do, we should make sure that we remain on this path of moderation. And it ties up to this ayat of the Quran al-Majeed, which I have recited in the introduction, which is found in Surah Hud, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْتَقِمْ فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعْكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. That no, O Nabi of Allah, remain steadfast as you have been instructed and commanded. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعْكَ. And similarly, those who have made tawbah and istighfar, who have turned to Allah, who have made rujoo' ila Allah, they have returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who makes tawbah, then what it effectively means is that this individual had moved far away from Allah ta'ala. He was, as we may say, far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we say, that is what is la'na. In English, it's loosely translated as a curse. He said that Allah Ta'ala's curse is on this person. The definition of la'na al-bu'd anil rahmah. That a person is far away from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. A person is in a very hot place, by way of an example, 50 degree heat, and he enters a space where it's air conditioned, it's shaded. We'll say this person is in a conducive environment. He's in a wonderful environment, he's in a comfortable environment, he's in a comfort zone. And if he emerges from that zone and he comes out into the heat, now he's exposed himself to the elements. The doctors will say, you need to be careful. You could suffer a stroke, a sunstroke. The heat is excessive. Try and stand in the shade, keep yourself in a cool environment. Make sure that you're hydrated. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala's mercy and rahmah, it is focused on certain individuals. And that person who continues to violate the commands of Allah Ta'ala, one command, then the next command, then the next command, he misses Fajr Salah, he misses Dhuhr Salah, he misses Asr Salah, he deceived the customers, he abused his wife. Because our understanding of piety nowadays, generally speaking, our definition of a pious person is that person who outwardly appears to be pious and is in the masjid in the first saf and has a tasbih in his hand and making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. And that is it. That is our definition of piety. But yet that same person who is in the first saf, we're not saying every person in the first saf is doing that, but we're giving by way of an example, that same individual who is in the first saf, who appears to be Bayezid Bustami of the time, but when he enters the home, then he's like a military commander, abusing his wife, insulting his wife, emotionally abusing, his abuser within the home. Or he uses insulting language and derogatory language against others who may not agree with his view. He'll call them all sorts of names. Such names sometimes which we will not even use against disbelievers. But yet that person will still be regarded as pious. Namun billahi min dhalik. So that is our misunderstanding of piety. Piety means that just as a person externally, he appears to be pious, he's making the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, but internally you find that person, subhanallah, his character is a reflection of the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. What was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was like that of the Quran al-Majeed. Hence, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, that lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. Wa shamsukum tatlu'u ba'da al-fajri. Wa shamsuna tatlu'u ba'da al-isha'i. وَكَمَا قَالَتْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. She says, she addressed the Sahaba Ikram and the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her children, we are the children of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are referred to as the mothers of the believers. So this is the mother addressing her children. She said, you all have got a son, and we have also a son. Your son rises after Fajr, and our son rises after Isha when my Nabi enters the home. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home, then it was as if the sun had come into the home. He brought a smile on her face. Today the wife would say, what if you wouldn't work? You don't have some friends, you'd rather go spend more time with them. When you come home, you put me under more pressure than anything else. Why the food is not at this temperature? What are you doing all day? Why this is not right? Why that is not right? I was mentioning to the brothers during the month of Ramadan, the marital discord over the toothpaste. The husband was very, very upset that the wife was not using the toothpaste correctly. She's pressing the toothpaste in such a way that he likes that the toothpaste must be pressed from the bottom. So it became a big fight, massive fight. So eventually the solution was given to them, that you buy a toothpaste for yourself and give your wife her toothpaste. Let her press the toothpaste how she wants to, and you carry on pressing it the way you like. But what kind of character is this? What kind of akhlaq is this? Yet the person will think that he's very pious because outwardly he appears to be very pious. Or because he's in the masjid in the first surf. But that aspect completely neglected. So when we say a person develops a quality of piety within himself, then it means internally and externally. His character also is a reflection of the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this effort to improve ourselves, it will continue till the rest of our lives. A mu'min and a believer would continuously make an effort to perfect himself. And that person who regards himself as perfect, then he will not progress. We look at the business world, the material world. Sometimes people pay consultants to come in. That youngster who's got his new car, he's got a couple of dents, he'll take it to the panel beater and he'll take it to that panel beater that can try and be as critical as possible. I want you to find every scratch and dent. Find every scratch and dent. We'll hire a consultant to come into our company and find where we can streamline. In other words, where are the faults? Can you find any faults in my business, in my practice? We'll hire an auditor, an accountant to see where can I cut down on the spending? I need to streamline the business to try and make it as profitable as possible. And we want to find the faults. We look forward. Lucky you found this here. Lucky you saw this here. But yet when it comes to our own personal self, then there is no concern whatsoever. And if some of our faults are highlighted to us by any individual, perhaps we have a friend, perhaps a fellow Muslim, perhaps a wife, and she has to expose some weakness of ours, why then do we get so angry and upset? Or you're saying this about me, what about yourself? Worry about yourself first. So we need to change our attitude and approach. Just as we want our businesses to continuously progress, what about our internal selves? What about our akhlaq and our characters? That needs to be improved. That if I am now 60 years old, then my character at 60 should be much better than what it was at 40. Why am I still the same person? Why am I gone worse? That now at 60, I've become so irritable and my temper is so, you know, uncontrollable that the grandchildren don't even want to sit around me any longer. That nobody wants to be around me because I'm so temperamental. It should have been the older I become, the more mature I become, the more patient I become, the more kind I become, the more loving I become, the more selfless I become. I have my days of fun and entertainment. Now it's my days to give to others. Now it's my days to share and give kindness to others, to motivate others. Respected elders and brothers, the speaker is in need of these. Allah grant me these qualities. But hence, after the month of Ramadan, we need to remain steadfast and continue improving. A person who took his vehicle to the showroom or to the panel meter or the service station, and that vehicle came out from the service station or from the panel meter, as they say, in showroom condition. What would we say about that individual who says, you know what, let me find the nearest concrete barrier and smash this vehicle again? We'll say that there's something wrong with this person. He probably needs to get himself checked up from psychiatrist, needs to check the brain whether it's functioning properly. Then after spending so much of money and sacrificing so much of that as well, he did the EFT and he saw the bank balance coming down, or the wallet went, you know, he saw the notes going out, he felt the pinch and pain on the heart. There was a big sacrifice that he made, and yet he went and intentionally damaged the vehicle again. Is something not right with it? In the same way, the month of Ramadan, what sacrifices we made, fasted so many days, felt the pangs of hunger, controlled ourselves, restrained ourselves. We wanted to speak and make riba. We wanted to insult our wives or make her feel small so that we can keep our authority within the home. Some people, their way of maintaining authority is belittle everyone around you. Belittle everyone around you. Remember, you need to earn respect. You need to earn respect. And people will automatically respect you, and that respect is lasting. And that is the respect that when a person passes away, people will cry on. People will cry when that person leaves the world. They said, how we loved our father, how we loved our uncle, how we loved our grandfather. What a wonderful, kind person he was. Haji Hasan Basri rahmatullah, says that when you entered this world, you entered this world in the condition that you were crying and people around you were laughing. Conduct yourself in this world in such a manner that when you leave this world, people around you are crying and you are smiling. You are smiling that you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, all my efforts that I made, today I'm going to meet my mahbub, my beloved Allah. Al-mawtu jismun yusilu al-habib ila al-habib, hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. That death is a bridge, it links the lover to his beloved Allah. So hence, respected elders and brothers, now that this month of Ramadan has come to an end, we have to maintain whatever we've achieved. The garage will tell you, make sure you maintain this vehicle. Service it regularly. Check your tire pressure. Check your alignment. Keep on checking this vehicle. Don't drive it this way, don't drive it that way. If the person met up in an accident because of a sharp bend in a certain place, now it is driving, you make sure to slow down. They're only bitten from the same hole twice. It's cautious. In the same way, we know before the month of Ramadan what went wrong. Where were our downfalls? Where were the pitfalls? Where did we get caught? Where did we slip? How wonderful it was that the month of Ramadan came and we changed our lives. How wonderful it was to make tilawah of the Quran Sharif and feel that spirituality in our lives. We experienced the barakat and the blessings within our homes. There was so much of unity and ma'abbad and love within the homes, inshallah. Many people have mentioned this. Now after the month of Ramadan comes, shaitan is out. And the fight starts. Arguments start. The old fights again, back again. People are arguing and fighting with each other. Hence, respected elders and brothers, in a few minutes, we just mentioned one verse of the Quran and Majeed. Allah Ta'ala addresses Rasulullah SAW that remain steadfast. Al-Istiqama, ulama ikram explain, fawqa al-karam. People are looking for the buzurgan deen, and which buzurg can fly on the carpet. Which is a buzurg if he can fly on the carpet, or he can tell you what's going to happen in the future. Those supernatural acts, greater than all of that, is that a person can remain steadfast on his a'man. That every day a person remains steadfast on whatever he was doing in terms of a'man. That the person, every day he was giving 10 rand charity a day, he continues giving that 10 rand regularity. Allah Ta'ala loves that action which is done consistently. The person during the month of Ramadan, you will read him 2 paras a day, 2 juz of the Quran. Obviously, after the month of Ramadan, it is not possible. Illa mashallah, except for some special chosen servant of Allah Ta'ala. But even if the person just reads 1 page of the Quran every day, he does it every day. Whether it's sowing, whether it's hailing, whether it's raining. That 1 page of the Quran Sharif, he does it regularly. That is more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than a person for 6 months not making tilawah of the Quran Sharif and then one day he reads 10 paras. Allah Ta'ala loves actions which are done consistently. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا. And do not trespass the boundaries of Allah Ta'ala. Remember, Allah has given us the Sharia. It is so to say, boundaries that we have. We have to remain within the boundaries of Sharia. Every single country has what? Regulations and rules. You have to have rules and regulations, otherwise it will be chaos. Can you imagine if we had no rules on the road? Wherever you decided to drive, whichever direction you could go. What would happen? As it is, if you just don't have traffic lights or the load shedding, how much of chaos takes? Can you imagine if everyone person decided instead of driving on the right hand side of the road or left hand side of the road or whichever side, I'm going to drive on the opposite side. Or if this road is a one way, I'm driving in the opposite direction. There will be absolute chaos. So there has to be rules and regulations in any country, in any society, in any business. Similarly, in any deed and religion, we have got boundaries and rules and regulations. And Allah Ta'ala instructs that do not trespass these boundaries. Do not trespass these boundaries. You find every single religion, as soon as they trespass the boundaries, what happened? The entire religion was destroyed. Isa alayhi salam was then elevated to such an extent that now they even worship him. They even worship him. They say he's God himself, na'udhubillahi min dhalik. Hence Rasulullah warned us that I am a slave of Allah. Yes, I am the greatest amongst all the anbiya, but I am a mere mortal. I am a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not elevate me to the status of Allah himself. Do not give the qualities of Allah to the Nabi of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not share his qualities with anyone. Allah is the Khaliq, Allah is the Razik, Allah is Alimul Ghaib, the know of the unseen. Alimul Ghaib, fala yudhiru ala ghaibihi ahada. Allah Ta'ala is the know of the unseen. And no one knows the unseen except those whom Allah has given a small portion of. Tidhalika min ambalil ghaib. Whenever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Anbiya gave us information of the unseen, it was what Allah Ta'ala had informed them. Isa alayhi salam, he said, I give life to the dead, bi-idni. With the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah does not permit me to give life to this deceased, I can never be. Hence, do not trespass the boundaries either way, remain within. And the easiest way, respected elders and brothers, is ask yourself, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the time will come when my ummah will be divided into more groupings and sects than what was in the deen of the Jews and the Christians. The Sahaba Ikram said, and Nabi Kareem Sahasin said, all of them were going to the fire of Jahannam, may Allah protect us. Sahaba Ikram said, Ya Rasulullah, which group will be saved? He said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Whoever follows my way and the way of my Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence we call ourselves Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Those who follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jama'atul Sahaba. The Sahaba of Rasulullah says. So any action that you do in your life, ask yourself the question that did the Sahaba Ikram and the noble companions of Rasulullah says do this action? If they did this action, this ibadah, then perhaps it can be done. But if they didn't do it, then I need to find out from the ulama whether it is necessary, whether it is perhaps there's something better I could do that would conform to the way of the Sahaba and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْهُوا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ وَصِيرٌ. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Establish your salah. The establishment of our salah, respected elders and brothers, will assist us and aid us in maintaining steadfastness after the month of Ramadan. If you want to be steadfast on your a'mal, you cannot do it without salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that man taraka salatan muta'ammidan faqad kafara. that the person who intentionally leaves out a salah, he has committed an act of disbelief. There were some fuqaha who were of the view that this person would go out of the fold of Islam and his nikah would be invalid. He would have to perform a new nikah altogether. Of course, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and these fuqaha, Allah have mercy upon them and reward them, they were a little softer. And they said that the person needs to make sincere dawah. Intentionally, you'll find many of us, we'll set our alarm way after Fajr time. After the sun is risen, we have to go to work at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock we're waking up. Intentionally, we have every intention to miss our Fajr salah. What is a person set his alarm for Fajr? That means he had the intention in the overset. That was not intentionally leaving out the salah. However, there can be an element of negligence, because that same person, he'll tell you, what is up, I put my alarm for Fajr. I don't hear that. I sleep right through. But yet that same person, if he's got a ticket to go to Dubai, and that flight he has to leave 3 o'clock in the morning, mashallah, then you'll see he's awake. Then he wakes up. And even if he can't wake up, he'll make sure he's got 120 friends that phone him to make sure that he wakes up. He'll probably even tell the neighbor, can you please knock on the door? Because I don't want to miss my flight. Because I'll lose out. Big money. Plus I've got a flight on a discount. I can't lose out. Why? Because money is precious to us. Yet the same person, Fajr, all week, I didn't hear anything. Nothing. So this is the sign of negligence. It shows that the seriousness of salah has not entered our heart. The greatness of salah has not entered our heart. May Allah Ta'ala fill my heart and all of our hearts with the greatness of salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for example, had you known the reward of the first saf, you would have fought with each other and taken on swords so that you get a space in the first saf. Today we find the person will, people will intentionally wait outside the masjid so that they can sit right in the back, so that as soon as the imam saf makes the first salam, before he even starts the second salam, they are already ready to do the 100 meter sprint to the car so that they can get out of the masjid. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. One of the fortunate ones will get shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَالِمِ. That man whose heart was attached to the masjid. His heart was attached to the masjid. You, Allah on the day of Qiyamah will call him and say, where is this brother? Today when people are drowning in their perspiration, you come under my shade. VIP treatment. The person books at the stadium, he said, I got a VIP, you know, box. I was in that place there. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala will give the person more than VIP status. Allah will give him shade under his arsh, under his throne. On that day when there is no shade except the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, may Allah make us of those fortunate ones. So hence, respected Allah's and brothers, the time is already expired, establishing our salah. The next verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala speaks about company. That do not incline towards bad company. Company will be, and the kind of friends and your associates, this will determine who you become. This will shape you moving forward. If you have got good friends, you've got a good environment, you are socializing with a good group, and I will say to the youngsters that your social gatherings are on the social media platforms. Who are you interacting with? Who are you following on Instagram? That's who you are exposing yourself to. If you are following pious people, you are following ulama-i kiram, you are following mashayikh, you are following good individuals, then you will say that you have kept yourself in a good environment. But if you are following those movie stars and actors and actresses, half of them, their lives are completely destroyed. And eventually some of them even commit suicide. They have no peace in their lives. Their lives are nothing but restlessness. But we're following them, watching what they're posting, what they're eating, where they're dancing, what they're dressing. We have exposed ourselves to that environment which is not conducive. It will be very difficult for us to remain steadfast on deen if we will expose ourselves to a bad environment. Hence Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. That if you will incline towards people of transgression, of oppression, then the fire of Jahannam will afflict you, Allah. The time is already expired. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the ability to remain steadfast after the month of Ramadan. And thereby, respected elders and brothers, remember that if we will come close to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said in the introduction, that we need this material world, but we have to live in this world with moderation. Do not allow this world to absorb you. Do not allow the world to absorb you. Jalaluddin Nuri Amtala, he says, We need the waters of the ocean for that ship to reach its destination. But if the water enters the ship, the sinking of the ship will be inevitable. Hence, we need dunya, but keep dunya out of the heart. When dunya enters the heart, it's going to cause us to drown, and it will cause our spiritual death. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, alleviate the suffering of the Ummah, unite the hearts of the Ummah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.